Welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich, conversations with actors, broadcasters, voiceover artists, producers, writers, and a whole host of creative people, many I'm proud to call my friends. Joining us today, one such friend, Jaybo Jones, possessing an amazing voice, as you'll hear, and he uses it for the good of mankind. Some wonderful highlights of his career, becoming an on-air personality at New York's number one station, Z100. Also that year, in 2007, Jaybo filled in for the legendary Rick Dees on the national countdown show, the Rick Dees Weekly Top 40, and that's heard around the world. Also heard around the world, his national show on Sirius XM, 70s on 7, where he cooks. Jaybo's also a successful writer. In 2012, he wrote and published Heroes, Mentors, and Friends. And I loved having him on my radio show in Boston to talk about that particular book, so meaningful. He's currently the afternoon drive time announcer at WROR, number one in the ratings, a terrific spot for any talented broadcaster, but for this one, a perfect place to land. Ladies and gentlemen, Jaybo Jones. Gosh, this is going to be fun, sitting down with an old friend, Jaybo Jones, who's heard in many places these days. I introduced you, of course, and talked about your work in Boston on WROR. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jordan. It's so great to be here.
Indeed. But tell me about the national exposure you get on Sirius XM. How did that happen?
Yeah, that is such a unique and different experience because, as you mentioned, It's on in all 50 states, and it's on the Sirius XM satellite radio channel 7, mm-hmm. which is the 70s brand, 70s on 7.
We love it, by the way, yeah. In my household. It's my music.
Oh, thank you. Life has a funny, in my book I talk about the power of intention, and my dream when I was a little kid was to be a DJ on WRKO in the 70s mm-hmm. and be Johnny Dark and Dale Dorman. And flash forward how many years, I get to be Rick Dees, Casey Kasem playing WRKO music, and then I get to drive to Boston and be on WRKO FM, WROR.
That's so true. So it is the old FM call letters right. for WRKO.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous. And you know, when satellite radio came into being, most of us, and this is the case with so many things, said, it'll never work. Who's going to pay for that? And yet it's become a successful, thriving entity.
Yeah, 32 million subscribers. And it is, a week doesn't go by where someone will reach out to me on Facebook, on Twitter, and saying, I just heard you play Staying Alive, Jaybo. Thanks for helping me move. Or a friend I haven't talked to in 20 years was saying, got you cranking in the convertible in Vegas. Thanks, Jaybo. And it's just an amazing different experience.
Now, you've got the kind of lifestyle where you do live radio every day on afternoon drive, a very highly rated, supremely exciting station, WROR, playing great music.
Right.
But now you're doing the satellite thing for many years. It's a different kind of thing because you're pre-recording a whole week's worth of material?
It is very unique. I do it the day of.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. We want to do it. They asked me to do it the day of to be relevant and topical and today. It's pretty amazing. I have a studio much like this at home, not as nice as this, but I have that mic though.
Yeah.
And I record the show in the morning as if I'm live. I bring the songs up as if I'm talking over Get Down Tonight or Boogie Oogie Oogie or China Grove. And I am, as I hit record, I'm live on the air. I pretend I'm live. And it gives the sense that I'm alive. And then when I'm done recording my 6-hour show, it takes about 2 hours, I pivot my chair and then I take those waves and drop them in the actual log on a laptop, on a company laptop.
Okay.
And I log into the server in DC and I literally drop my voice breaks into those songs. And I can edit them. I can the intros, the outros, the fades. Even a trained ear could probably not tell that I'm not live.
I am a trained ear. I grew up in that era. I worked at WRKO, and I had the pleasure and the honor of working with some of these amazing talents. And what's remarkable about 70s on 7 on satellite is how vital it sounds, how alive it is today, but how it reminds us of that great jock era when guys had big voices like yours and just rammed it up to the post and nicked that post and hit those, and by hitting the post, what we mean is, you talk up to a beat or to the music start. And it's flawless. It's so much fun to listen to.
It really is. And, it's a joy doing it. And we call that crush and roll, right? That's the labeling, crush and roll. And it's fun because it's it's the best of both worlds, because they our training there and our direction is they don't want us to sound old. They don't want us to make the audience feel old. They want, so we got to be cautious with the nostalgic part of it, but also they want the audience to feel good, not old but good. And it's fun to, I mean, I start giggling because I'm coming out of Cindy Greco's theme from Laverne and Shirley. And
I know.
So, okay, what am I going to say out of that? And so I'm having fun commenting on the fact that we play songs on 70s that you just don't hear anywhere else anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have commercials.
I was going to bring that up, J-Bo, the fact that there are no spots, there are no commercial breaks. So it's a nonstop flow.
Nonstop.
But what you're doing as the DJ, as the disc jockey, as the artist, is just weaving in commentary and back sells and so forth, just enough, not too much.
Right.
It's a very fine mix that they've developed.
I did a break this morning. I was coming out of that song, Cindy Greco, and I said, well, looks like the North Koreans are going to denuke. I could top that. I just played the theme from Laverne and Shirley. Jingle. And, you know,
Kim Jong-un would probably appreciate that, I'm just guessing, because he probably loves Laverne and Shirley reruns.
Well, he loves Rocket Man. We know that.
We know that. Let's go back to what you're doing on a daily basis. And the fact that I've known J-Bo for many years, and I knew that in your history, you were in management, and you were the guy who had to stress over who's going to show up for their shift and what the music trends are saying and what the ratings are saying. Now you're a talent. You're a guy who gets to play every day with a great organization, WROR.
Yeah.
Tell me what that feels like.
Well, it's a tremendous honor to be on ROR, to be part of that crew. It's to work, you know, with the Lauren Owens and be there with Wally retired, but I got a good few years with to be there with Wally Bryan and Julie Devereaux. Mm-hmm. It's just an incredible honor. They're, as you said, they're the call letters. They've been here for so many years. And to be on the air in, you know, from Worcester. So to be on the air in the town I grew up listening to radio, listening to you on WRKO. It's your fault that I'm
it's
in
my
this.
Fault, yeah.
You and Charlie Van Dyke. And that's the truth. I grew up with you doing the traffic and being Charlie's sidekick on RKO.
Same thing. I mean, I grew up on the South Shore of Boston, and I think you and I share a particular passion. We live this business. We love it. And there's that sense of connection and honor with the past that unfortunately isn't as prominent today, but it's so true in your case. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, and, you know, and we were talking about it before we started the podcast. I mean, you know, change is a part of life. Broad radio's changed. Media has changed. You know, without change, you and I wouldn't be on this podcast today. Your brand is, you know, extended and broaden with this great podcast. And so, you know, while the change at times can be hard, I never thought I'd be on WROR creating funny videos for our website and using that creativity that I've always felt I had. Mm-hmm. But now, I was telling you about we're going to make a funny video spoofing The Office. We have an amazing video crew. I mean, in blessed to have it at ROR, a video department. That,
well,
you know, I couldn't do that myself.
You're not reinventing yourself, but you're jumping onto the current technology and the exciting current technology that it blends beautifully with what you're doing in radio. And that brings us back to the other side of J-Bo Jones, and that's the side that really has reflected on life and written about it, spoken, you've lectured, your walks around Walden Pond and things like that. I mentioned the book Heroes, Mentors, and Friends in the opening, and I love the book. And I
Thank
had you
Jordan.
On my BZ show when we saw you premiere that. But there was a change in your life that I'd like you to talk a little bit about, a big change, and it was partly due to career.
Well, you know, thank you so much for you know, bringing up the book. It is a huge part of my life in the way I think I wrote that book as a lesson to me. And as I was writing it, I realized that, wow, I'm going through a change. And yeah, I was 50 years old and I was a manager at a big station here in Boston, and I was fired. I was let go. Mm. And after many, many years of 15-hour days and sleepless weekends, sleepless nights, I went through a divorce. I broke up with a girlfriend who was my fiance. I said, okay, what is next? I need a change. I don't know if I want to be in management anymore. And I interviewed for a couple program director jobs, and my heart wasn't in it, so I didn't get it. Your heart has got to be in it, you know, for nature sure. to come and move you to the next level. And I decided to kind of go inward, and I said, maybe if I can, I had a lot of spiritual beliefs. I still do. I grew up in a family of priests. My uncle was a priest. My grandfather was a priest. So religion and spirituality was always a theme and a fabric in my life. Mm. So I thought, if I can put together some thoughts on helping others in our business that went through the same thing that I did and take a break from radio, I wasn't rich. I couldn't retire totally. But as I've always believed and said, and we talked about it the last time we were on the air together, nature has a way of opening opportunities for you when you believe you're not alone, when you can believe in what I call our higher self. You can call it God, you can call it nature, you can call it the universe. There's a lot of new labels for that energy that's out there. Mm. And I always believed that, hey, if I can make it in radio all those years and live my dream, the dream and that energy that got me there is not over. Mm. You can't give up.
Well, I love the synchronicity of it all, because here we are talking about your career today. You're having a blast,
yeah.
and you're being heard, which is something that you've always wanted to be relevant in a different kind of way. You know, you're not shuffling papers, not that there's anything wrong with that,
right.
but you're doing the art. The yeah. art returned to yeah. to J-Bo.
It did in such a profound way, such a magical way. And when I dove into writing Heroes, Medicine, Friends, that whatever that is, that nature of the universe, opportunities, connections, mentors, heroes started showing up in my life to take me to the next level. You were one of them. You know, to be on a kid who grew up with you on the air and grew up with WBZ, and to be on WBZ as an author was, I mean, right there. What else do I need to do next?
I was thrilled when you agreed to do it, and we had a blast
doing it.
And by the way, your writing hasn't stopped since, and you sent me something. You said, my 12 principles for happiness and success, something you penned just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe we can touch on a few of these. But it's kind of cool to get the bug and to realize you have something to offer beyond what you do on the air.
Yeah.
So this has been something you've kept up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I still speak. I do a lot of work with the Worcester Rotary Club. I have Facebook contacts that reach mm-hmm. out and they'll say, hey, I got your book. I have friends I'll talk to if they need some help getting through a tough day or a situation. So, yeah, I've become busy with the radio side of my life. I'm on Sirius. I'm on ROR. I also do the news for Dunkin' Donuts. I'm in 1,300 Dunkin' Donuts every day.
Wait a minute. Stop 1 second. You do the news for Dunkin'. How does that work?
At home.
Okay.
I work for a messaging company. And
right.
About 4 or 5 years ago, a friend who runs that company said, hey, I, it's sort of like that intention. Opportunities come to you if you allow them to come. And if you believe that you are capable. Yeah, a friend of mine said, hey, I want you to do the news. I said, well, I've been on the radio all my life, but I've never been a newsman. Never really been an author either until I decided one day I'm going to write a book.
Yeah.
So I do it in my house, and the messaging service is on at 1,300 Dunkin' Donuts throughout the country.
That is really
and
cool.
And I read the news at night.
So you read the news, and it's heard in Dunkin' Donuts?
When you're in Dunkin' Donuts,
oh,
and
my
goodness. You hear music, you hear messaging, you hear today's Dunkachinos on sale for this, and then somewhere in the hour, I come on, and, It's Friday, April 28th, Dunkin' Radio News, and I'll read
I'm going
news.
To have to loiter at Dunkin' Donuts because I'm not in. I'm usually in for a quick black coffee to go, and that's it. But I'm going to check that out. I did not know that.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's great. So let me bring this back around, since the podcast I do focuses on voice and talent and so forth. You do have a terrific speaking voice and professional chops and so forth.
Thank you.
Did you have training for your voice?
At early days, no. When I was in Chicago, I was blessed to program a station in Chicago back in the early 2000s. And after that, I left that station. I wanted to grow my voiceover side of my life. Mm-hmm. And as you know, voice work and being on the radio as an air talent is two different things.
Yes, yes.
And I found one of the best voiceover coaches in Chicago, and she taught me some amazing things and how to shake the radio, the DJ out of your voice,
right,
and to become more of an actor and a talent. I have a great, I can give you this amazing tip she gave me, and I use this today.
Oh, please, share with our audience. I'd love that.
It was a woman named, it is a woman named Maurice Tobias, and she's well-known. Every major voiceover talent on television, she's probably mentored. And you'll appreciate this. She said, when you're doing voiceover talent, remember this. National voiceover advertising is suggestion. For example, you take the GE, the new GE light bulb. They suggest that you purchase the product. Television promos, you know, like you'd see tonight on NBC, that's seduction.
Okay.
They seduce you into watching,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And then radio advertising is coercion.
Oh, I love that. That is such an interesting way to look at it.
Where they coerce, you know, because sometimes our radio commercials are a little bit too long. There's a lot of copy, you know, not yours, because I love your Pops commercials are fantastic. So I learned that from her, and that helps me when I want to get intimate on the air and I want to be more one-on-one with the listener, there's a place I go.
Let me ask you then a follow-up on that, because knowing you, reading the book, knowing of your work outside of the business, has that change that you sort of underwent, that epiphany a few years ago when you lost the management job, did that affect the way you connect with your audience when you're on the air, maybe even subconsciously? Because I'll tell you how this relates to me. When I went through some personal anguish and issues, as we all do, that changed my connection to the audience. Even though they're not in front of me visually, I felt them, and I feel them now. That sense of connectedness, empathy, understanding, I don't know, did any of that change for you in delivery?
Yeah, it did, because when I left the management and got into the spiritual side of me in the book, it gave me a sense of who I am and who I'm becoming. Mm. And when there's a sense of when I'm on the air now, that I'm more myself than ever before.
A sense of authenticity, Jabo?
Yeah.
We hear that, by the way. I mean, even, I was going to say this, even on 70s, I know you're having a blast. I know that you're punching these little one-liners, but I think that when an audience senses that the individual talent is there in the moment, that's a beautiful connection we make, and we feel more comfortable.
Yeah, and the what's really helped. That's an awesome observation. Thank you. When I'll be speaking about a book, my book, and I can see the people in the room resonate and connect, that builds confidence that you can take to other experiences. Mm-hmm. In that book, I talk about when I passed out at Christmas, my family and dinner. I talk about when I got let go. I talked about highs and lows in my life. And when you put something out that's kind of puts you in a little vulnerable place and it's okay and people accept it, it kind of gives you the green light. Well, I can be myself. Mm. I can be who I really am. You know, when I wrote that book, I was a little sheepish about a character, about Rex Traylor. I wrote my childhood dream meeting Rex Traylor with my dad, and how I went to WBZ when I was 8 and Rex was there, but they wouldn't let me go in because they didn't have a ticket. And my dad was a salesman. You know that story. And I wrote along and I said, Dad, there's WBZ. We got to stop and go in and meet Rex Traylor. I was 7 years old. He took me out of school that day to go on a sales trip with him. We did that in those days. Now we call that truancy.
Yeah.
But in those days, And I said, you got to pull over. He says, all right. So my dad, who's a hero, most dads would have said, no, we're going home. You'll get a ticket.
That's heroic.
Right.
That's heroic.
So we pull in the lot, we go to the front, and the lady says, sorry, you got to get a ticket. 6 months. And I walked out, and I said, Dad, no, we're not going home. We're going to find Rex Trailer. And it was the 60s, so there were no fences, no cameras, no badges. I walked my dad around the back of the building, which you know so well, and there was Rex Trailer's horses in the trailer, Gold Rush and another horse.
Gold Rush. Right.
And there was a garage door ramp. Mm-hmm. I said, we're going in. So at this point, we're trespassing and the property, and we walked in. I walked into the set of Boomtown, and a producer came out, knowing the power he had, this little boy, me, and he found Rex, and Rex invited me on the show that day. And to see Rex Trailer in person at 7 years old, he was like 9 feet tall. He had the boots. He had the cowboy belt buckle. He was a Jedi Knight.
Talk about a hero.
Yeah. And that day changed me forever because I said, I got to get into this business.
Mm.
And my point, so flash forward to 2012, I write that little kid story in my book, and I go, boy, are people going to think, is this going to work? Is this, you know? And the publisher, when they reviewed the book, they said that was our favorite story in the book.
It really resonates, doesn't it? And the Rex Trailer connection, I'll just tell you, same thing. He was a hero of mine as a kid. And he was a local television personality and a favorite member of the Hall of Fame. And anyway, meeting him and having him on as a guest I was like a kid again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think those are the things that make this business so much fun for the people in it, let alone the people listening.
Yeah.
We are kids at heart.
Right.
Still.
And it's that – so going back to the connection, the heroes, mentors, and friends.
Yeah.
When I went through those experiences outside of radio, I said, wow, I can be a little more of myself. And, you know, because, you know, being on the air as a DJ, you got 10, 20 seconds. You don't have morning show time that you can you have to find a way to be concise and entertaining and charismatic in 20 seconds. So the book and the speaking helped me kind of pull more out. And to cap off the Rex Trailer story, flash forward to 2002, it was my dad's 83rd birthday, and it was a cowboy-themed birthday. And I was the host. I had all of our family at Indian Meadows on Route 9.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I told the story, and I introduced Rex Trailer.
He came out?
Rex came out in his full cowboy regalia with his guitar. And we were all in our 40s and 50s, and by the end of the night, everybody was crying happy tears. And I got such a great response because he sang all of his songs. We talked about Boomtown, and everyone said, you reproduced our childhood before our very eyes.
I love that story. Yeah. That's wonderful. And as you were telling that, I kept thinking, when you're in the business that we're in, you're always pegged to host the party for the family. All right, John will do it. Jordan will do it.
That's right.
Give him the microphone or get up at the dinner and make the speech and all that. Right. Hey, by the way, we love it.
I'm not going to lie. I love it. I'd be disappointed if they didn't.
You've mentioned the title. I want to mention it again. And Amazon.com is the perfect place to go. Heroes, mentors, and friends. And your career is at a zenith now. It just keeps taking off more and more. I think it's wonderful that you're so happy. And I just want to say, as a man of a certain age, it's great to see the success at ROR, which is a local powerhouse station with people who are professionals, who love the business, who continue to do great work as broadcasters.
You know, and back to you, Jordan. Thank you. You were one of the first heroes, mentors, and friends, forgive me for saying that, to recognize what I was doing and invite me on your show. And it was on BZ. It was such an amazing honor to be on with you. I had grown up with you. I respected you. Saw the work you did with the Mass, Associated Broadcasters. And, you know, when I reached out to Jordan, within 4 seconds, my email was buzzing saying, let's talk, let's do this. And you've been there for me ever since.
Well, so thanks for doing this, coming in and doing the podcast. I really appreciate it. J-Bo Jones. A phenomenal talent, but also a very fine individual, fine human being. It's really nice hanging out with you, man. Let's do this again.
I'd love to. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced by Chart Productions. Just click the Jordan Rich podcast link at chartproductions.com for more. Please subscribe, download, rate, and review us on Apple and any other podcast platform. Hey, it's great to be with you as always. Thanks for listening. Have a terrific day.